Thank you again for being with us. This is the second Sunday in the season of Advent. As we work through the season of Advent, we get closer and closer to Christmas. The message of Advent follows through in preparing not only the people of Israel for Jesus' arrival, but us also for Jesus' return. And of course, the coming of the baby Jesus. And as we work through the Advent, themes are brought up that are attached to each of the candles. Last week, of course, the theme was hope. This week, the theme that's attached to the candle is peace. We get John the Baptist's story as he is out in the wilderness and he is baptizing people for the forgiveness of their sins. So why is he doing this? And it's a very complicated thing because when we hear baptism as Christians, we automatically assume we're talking about the baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ himself brought to humanity for the remission of all of our sins. But in Jewish culture, it wasn't uncommon at all for a person to go and be baptized ceremonially to signify that you were truly wanting to repent of the things you'd done wrong, be made whole and clean, and start over again. In fact, there are whole Jewish communities that are based around nothing but the notion of being baptized over and over and over and over again, sometimes two or three times on any given day. Not lifetime or month or even week, two or three times on any given day. Kind of an extreme example, but that is the way they live their lives. Now, when we've got John speaking to the crowds, he is trying to encourage them to come forward, present themselves before God, not as an acceptable sacrifice, but as unacceptable. As sinners who want to be forgiven of their sins, which then they are taken down to the water to be washed clean of their sins. And people have been doing this, not just during John's life, but throughout the whole of Israel's time as a nation. But of course, it takes a very special person to do this sort of ministry, because not just everyone's willing to go out and trust anyone. But of course, John is offering them peace. The peace that comes from having a clean conscience. The peace that comes from knowing that that which we have done which is wrong is forgiven. Now, I'll say right here and now, I think for most of us, the notion of bearing that sort of burden, the burden of not being sure if your sins are or are not forgiven, ought to be foreign to us who are Christian. When I say ought to be foreign to us, I know that for a lot of Christians, well, probably actually for all of us from time to time, it's a feeling that we actually understand. We shouldn't. This should be like someone explaining something to us that we've never experienced before in our lives. Because as Christians, we ought to be living in the grace of Jesus Christ, knowing that we are wholly, totally, and completely forgiven of our sins. Not because we're great and awesome and amazing and astounding. The scripture is very clear. Who can keep all of God's law? None of us. Who has been good from their birth to their death? None of us. Who is good? None save God alone. Of all of humanity that's lived, breathed, and died, Christ and Christ alone was sinless. But because as believers we are in Christ, we are counted as though we are sinless. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. So we don't have to go down to the River Jordan to be baptized in order to receive this sense of peace that is, of course, what John is offering the people of Israel. But sometimes our souls are troubled. Sometimes our hearts are burdened. Sometimes our own sinful nature, which even though that we know that it is forgiven through the grace of Jesus Christ, brings us sorrow and misery and heartache because we're human. And that's simply part of being human. So what do we do with that? Do we go find ourselves a John who's baptizing people by the riverfront? It would be kind of weird if we did. Do we go get rebaptized? Of course we don't. As Lutherans, we know that it is not only a bad idea to get rebaptized, it goes directly against God's word for a person to be baptized a second time. Why is that? Because it wasn't about my decision to be baptized or your decision to be baptized that brought salvation to me. It wasn't that I said magic words over a baby that made them be baptized. It was that God's promise that whosoever is baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and believes in Jesus Christ will be saved. God's word, the promise of God, infused into this thing that we call water, is certain, and it is being done not by my hands or your hands, but by the very power of God. And so if we were to want to baptize someone for a second time, what would we be effectively saying? We'd be saying that the first time God baptized a person, he messed it up. We have to go back and fix what God screwed up. And of course, we know that's not true. And so as believers, it's not as though we can go get baptized over and over and over again every time we feel the burden of our sin. Martin Luther says, what do? You remember your baptism. You trust, you believe that what it was that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross is forever. And I got to say, we live in an era when it's hard to know how to trust and believe. I mean, to be perfectly honest, if every news source on television from CNN to Fox announced to the world that the sky is blue, I would seriously question whether or not the sky might actually be green. Because we live in a world that has become so untrustworthy because it's been corrupted. Corrupted by sin, corrupted by politics, corrupted by money. And of course, the scriptures teach us that the love of money is the root of all evil. And I will say, if you look at all of our news sources, not just on the television, but online and print and all of that, there is certainly a corruption of money that has stilted all of the reporting. Do you remember the good old days? A lot of you do, when reporters simply recited the facts. No spin, no commentary, no editorial thought, no talking heads. No experts. They certainly didn't quote Twitter and Facebook, because why would they quote random gossip? Just facts. But even then, there was certainly spin there, because humans, we don't always say trustworthy things. So how do we know what to trust? And of course, the answer is simply this. We don't trust human things, but we do trust God's things. See, when John the Baptist goes out to baptize people in the wilderness, it is because he is reading God's word. He is responding to God's call, and he is acting on behalf of the Holy Spirit. Make straight in the desert a highway for the Lord, straight from Scripture. And what is he doing? He is going to God's word, trusting God's word, and making that the foundation of his ministry, his life, and his message. If we want peace in our lives, the first step to it is learning not to trust. Learning not to trust the world. Learning not to trust our media. Learning not to trust our politicians or the talking heads or the so-called experts. And I'm not talking about folks on one side or the other. I mean all of them. And you might say to me, Pastor Russ, that sounds awful. How can a person live without trust? Well, I'm not saying that you don't live without trust. I'm saying that first, foremost, and last, you put your trust in God. You trust wholly and completely in God's word, God's promise, God's love, God's forgiveness, God's renewal. And in the season of Advent, in God's promise that Jesus Christ will return and make everything wrong right again. Now, I'm not saying that then you dismiss the rest of the world. What I'm saying is that you work from that foundation, that absolute rock bed solid foundation of absolute certainty in God's faithfulness, and you begin to look at the world, not as one who is moved by the world, because we are immovable on the truth of God, but look at the world objectively. Look at the world carefully. Look at the world as one who is not of the world, but in the world. And think carefully about the messages that you receive. But don't receive those messages as though they are absolutely gospel, because there's only one gospel, the gospel of the Lord. And that's difficult. We want to trust. We want to trust the world. We want to trust the respected people of this world. And I'm not saying they're going to try to lie to us. I'm just saying they're going to be imperfect. And as those who are founded, centered, and standing on the perfection of God's love, it is our duty, responsibility, and privilege to experience the world through the knowledge that we are saved through Jesus Christ and Christ alone, and that now we are free to look with judgment. And I know judgment's a harsh word. People don't want to say, oh, judge not lest you be judged. Not what that passage means. See, we are supposed to discern through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the scriptures, through the witness of the church. We are to discern what is right and wrong in the world that we live in through the lens of what we have learned through God. We are to look at everything that is presented to us from the world to discern its spirit. And when we do that, the chaos and the distraction of the world is overtaken by the peace of God that passes all understanding, keeping our hearts and minds in Christ and Christ alone. If you want peace in your life, and don't we all, the first step is understanding that peace comes from God. Trust in God. Stand on God's word. Then discern the truth of the world that we live in through the eyes of Christ and no one else's.